Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand with Rose Bowl champion Derek Engler. Here's Alex Gravatt.
For the Green Bay Packers over the weekend, 30-14 over the Titans. The Wisconsin Badgers had the bye week to get ready, get Braden Locke a few more reps as the starting quarterback moving forward. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and a fellow Rose Bowl champion, the three of them, Barry Alvarez, coach. But we're going to start really quick with somebody else on this panel. Riley Yauch, our producer back in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio. You had a pretty fun week, a little event this past week, isn't that correct?
I did. I had the fortune, the pleasure of attending the Milwaukee Brewers prep rally outside of American Family Field, and I had the distinguished honor of being handed my brat by none other than Tarek Salah. It was quite phenomenal. I told him I would bring this up today, and I guarantee he had no idea who I was when I pulled up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm like, what? I'm like, we don't have any listeners.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa, hey. It's a distinguished channel.
No, that I was like, oh yeah, we'll talk about this.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, really? Like, who is that guy?
Yeah. So, I realized after I drove away, I never introduced myself. You have probably never seen my face, so it wouldn't really make any sense to you. But now I have the opportunity to bring it up. It's a funny story. So
someone recognized me, just one. It was great.
Exactly.
How was the delivery?
He was your coworker, by the way.
Did you get the ketchup and the mustard, or did you just get the brat?
No, I just got the brat. It was a solid brat. I was actually very happy with it. So thank you for picking me a good one.
That's good. You know, we were supposed to roll the ketchup and mustard in there, you know, because people pine for that, right? They want that. And like, I was just handing them out. And
I'm not a ketchup guy, but
yeah, I'm not either. You know, the brat's good by myself, you know, by itself. But
what? Of course you do.
I love ketchup. It's like the most easy taste thing. Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with that.
Thank you.
I do ketchup and mustard on a brat.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Well, I'll give Coach a pass, not you.
What time, Riley? Riley, what time were you getting this brat?
I believe it was around, we were a little after 7, I think it
7
was.
7 a.m.
Between 7 and 7:30 for sure.
It was early.
How early did you get
great
up?
Great.
I left the bar at 2 a.m. and I got there at 5, you know, so it all worked out.
When is the earliest you would eat a brat, Derek?
Well, I mean, are we talking late night, like after the bar?
No. Or like you wake up in the morning. How early are you eating a brat?
Breakfast.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had a breakfast.
You know, tailgates, you do a brat like at 8 a.m.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
There are very specific occasions, but there are very few times where I wake up and the first thing I think is I need
brat.
But you're thinking brat and beer.
No. I'm just thinking like a morning sausage is the maple-y, the sweetness a little bit in there, is a little savory. But an actual brat for breakfast seems just like.
Yeah, but when it's free. And you're going through the line. It's
you
like,
take three,
and you get to meet
three.
Tarek Salah. Come on,
for the first
yeah, it was
time
delicious.
Ever.
It's the only guy that went by Robin Yount and Sidney Moncrief to go meet me, which was
yep.
Thank you.
I was like, hey, Sidney, good to see you, but Tarek's up there, so I gotta
That's
say
awesome.
Goodbye. We gotta hustle.
Did you drive all the way there in the morning from Madison?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Me and my friend woke up at 5:30 to go to the Brewers prep rally, and I'll be honest, other than getting my brat from Tarek, it was slightly underwhelming.
What? Other than that, was the highlight.
Exactly. That was the good part.
You didn't get the flag, the banner?
No, I got the flag. I got everything. But the way it worked, like they pushed us through the line so fast, like we got to say like, oh, what's up, Tark? Thanks for the brat. All right, we got to go. See ya. Thanks. And that was just the speed of it all. So I wish we had a little more time. I understand there were tons of people behind
the
us.
Resilient.
Pining to meet Tarek, so
some of them
it made
were jumping,
sense.
Coming out of the car, and they had to tell them to go back in the car. They wanted a picture with Robin Yount or or Donald Driver
or you.
No. They thought I was the backup for the sausages, so they didn't care about me. Those guys running around.
You think you could beat them, all that squad in a race?
With, you know,
with
in
the
shorts,
sausage on?
Shorts. No,
I watched sure Tarek race Susie Faber-Hamilton out at the Madison Mallards ballpark.
That's right. Before Susie is really Susie.
This is fair enough. Yeah. But he you went from where? The right field?
It was at center field, and we had to go around the third baseline and back home. So it was about like a 300-yard run.
Right.
If it went 20 more feet, I would have lost to her. She had, you know, she's obviously an endurance person. I'm the opposite. I'm more of a sprinter.
He won.
I will
round
tell you,
of applause.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I agree, Coach. I agree.
That would have gotten a lot more
My
attention.
Money would have gone the other way.
I was thinking there was a hamstring sniper up there.
No question. It was about to go if it didn't stop at home plate. It went any further, we'd be in trouble.
This hard-hitting conversation of nothing but the premier sports topics is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. We are live from the Hilldale location of the Great Dane. And yes, the Brewers are doing great, but this is a football show. I mentioned that we might talk a little Brewers, and that was the extent of the Brewers. And Derek, you went pale in the face. Your eyes got big. You're a little nervous there, it seemed like. So,
About the Brewers?
Yes.
Because I don't know anything about baseball.
Well, then let's talk about football. So the Badgers and the Packers both have backup quarterbacks, but the Packers are doing quite well. The Badgers had some growing pains. It was against a really good team. How are the Badgers using this bye week to really prepare and get Braden Locke ready for the start, Coach?
Well, first of all, as a staff, you want to figure out what he does well. What are his strengths? And then you try to build your game plan around what he can do and really build up his confidence in allowing him to do those things and try to get, you know, familiarity with the starters. I mean, he, as a backup, you maybe get 5% of the snaps during the week. Now he's going to get all the snaps. They're going to know him a little better. He should have a better feel for the receivers and vice versa. And, you know, you start all over again.
And, Coach, did you ever start a backup quarterback?
Well, Brooks was a backup.
Brooks was a backup.
Sure he was. And then we moved him. I can't remember. It wasn't an injury. I don't think it was injury. I just thought we had to make a change.
All right.
Yeah, with a redshirt freshman.
And Derek, as a center, you're snapping the ball. I've heard a lot of people say that exchange is relatively difficult, but it seems like one of the more routine things that happens in the NFL. How different is it when somebody else has to come in and start taking snaps?
Well, you got to have – the quarterback needs to understand there's certain plays that they really got to ride you, and that's typically reaching a tilt nose or something of that or a block back. They need to know where you're going. They really need to understand that, and it's important.
Yeah. Ball security.
Yeah, it's very important. And typically, you know, you're working with these quarterbacks on a daily basis, and they understand the plays and where that center is going. So it shouldn't be that much of a transition.
I was just gonna go there.
We're not under center, by the way, at Wisconsin anymore.
Not on fourth and one, at least.
We're not on anything.
We all noticed that.
Yeah.
Fourth and one.
Well, you can take that foghorn and shove it. You know where?
Whoa!
I'm going to tell you.
Where's
what.
The bell? Ring the bell.
Exactly. I am not, and Coach Longo knows this, and he's friends of ours, and we can't, especially me. I'm not going to speak for Coach Alvarez and Tarek, but I can't wrap my head around short yardage and being in shotgun. I just can't. It doesn't compute for me.
Do you think that that's going to change with a new quarterback behind center?
No.
It is a fully the system.
I think that's the philosophy of this staff, this offensive staff. They believe in it. He's been questioned on it by this panel right here. But that's what he believes in. And you know what? God bless him.
There's not one play in the playbook, I think, where they have a under center deal. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen him up under center.
Really? That is.
And that might be part of the ball security. You might say, hey, we don't know. It's not in our MO to take a ball from under center. And it might cause a problem if we do it. But it,
that's the antithesis of what we did. So,
yeah.
We just figured it's
I'm
the
just
physics.
Here shaking my head. Because it doesn't.
It's the science of it. Like, if you want to get 1 yard, you just got to be closer to the line of scrimmage. And let's go.
Or be running downhill. Or sneak.
Yeah. The sneak, it completely takes away
sneak's
that
hard to stop.
The tush push out there is looking really dangerous.
Sneak is hard to stop with a good quarterback and a center coming off.
Yeah.
I mean, watch.
You have two road graders. Yeah. You have a decent center. You can't stop the sneak. Not for half a yard, a yard. You just can't.
We were apprehensive about pulling the guard because it was too much time for the, you got to get the guard out. Let's just get off the ball and push him and get the yard. I mean, it's wild to be back 5 yards.
Now Michigan,
with no momentum.
Michigan
I saw it.
Just played
I
against saw it. The Trojans, and they got the win. It looks like the total was 290 yards on 46 attempts. As Braden Locke is walking into this game, it's a long flight over there. He's got to feel a little bit better knowing that there could be he might not be what they're leaning on in this game. Coach, what do you think that does for a team, seeing that, yes, the Badgers just had a tough butt kicking, as they called it, but that is a brutal score, a brutal stat for the Trojans. What how do you fire up a locker room around 290 yards?
Well, I think the first thing you do as a coach, Southern Cal, you're not playing their history. You're not playing those OJ's team and some of the great players they've had in the past. You're playing the guys that show up now. And when you watch film, you can see that we match up okay with these guys. We'll play with these guys, and we'll have a chance if we play well. And so that's the thing. Don't play the history books. Don't let your players read into it more than what it is. Go out there and play whoever shows up.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really, really kind of excited because I'm hoping that the game plan is old school, going out to USC and running the football, because there were to me, I don't know if you watched game, Tarek, or not, but
parts of it.
You know, it was glaring to me that we can expose them running the football. And if we can stick to that, you know, and that's part of the that's not my wheelhouse. That's Coach Longo and you know, and Coach Fickell and what they go into that game plan with. But I'm just telling you, we can get after it on the ground. I know we can.
No doubt.
Because this offensive line, to me, is impressive thus far. I saw what we did against Alabama. We gave them time. We gashed them. You know, and we got horses that can do it.
I agree with you. And I think we have two running backs that will honk it up in there. I mean, they'll stick it in there now. And I agree with you. I'm old school. And you're going out there on the road playing a team like this. They're not accustomed to somebody coming out there and trying to bloody their nose.
I'm encouraged now. You know, I saw them give up a lot of yards. I saw Nebraska give up a ton of yards. Illinois ran right through them. So we got these teams that we could go up against and we could run it down their throat. Now, we just got to go do it.
You got to have the game plan to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the air raid offense is, you know, it's successful, but also there's a lot of running happening. This is not just a passing offense. We've seen
that. He's been, you know, back to North Carolina, Longo was 50-50 in his run pass ratio.
So. He was running for 200 a game, 200 plus a game.
All right. You guys are getting me excited. I want to hear why. So I believe that the Badgers can win this game. I was not so bullish on the Alabama game. I feel a little bit better about that. I want to hear why you guys think that this can happen next. The Badgers are on a one-game win streak, and if you want to start your win streak today, you can get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is Madison's original brewing, award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now, every Monday through Thursday, come from 3 until 6 p.m. Enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat, Good Dog IPA, to Old Glory APA, head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, downtown, or Eastside, or come right now. Join us at the Hilldale location and enjoy a better pour or get more for your pour at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I've been dreaming about the West Coast. Found some places that I don't know. But I believe the Packers can win this game against a top 15 team in the country. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and Barry Alvarez. And 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. Talk in, call in, text in. This is a Great Dane Huddle.
You meant the Badgers, though, right?
Yes. Did I say the Packers?
I think you said Packers, yeah.
I think the Packers could dominate USC. I don't think that would be a close game.
You think?
Thank you.
Want to set the stage.
But I didn't feel this confident going into the Alabama game. I think coming off of a tough loss, everyone kind of gets the reality of the situation, what it's like to go up against one of the best teams in the country, which last year they had Ohio State, but they haven't yet.
They weren't that good. I mean, I feel like, you know, we have those turnovers. Defensively, we got some issues that we got to correct, obviously. But I think offensively, we don't have those turnovers. Man, we're in the game. We're in the game.
Don't miss the kick either.
You miss a kick and you turn it over the first time. You're driving deep in their territory when we have a big gain and turn it over on a fumble and we miss a field goal. The worst we should have gone in at the half was down a score.
Exactly.
At the worst.
Exactly.
Could have gone in ahead, but you're right. I think Alabama's a much better team than Southern Cal. This isn't one of the great Southern Cal teams. And I think the three – we've all watched them play. And that's why I think we're all confident that we can match up and we can play. Boy, you're going to have to play well, and you can't turn it over, give them the ball like we did against Alabama, or the same thing will happen. But if we go out there and play a clean game and play smart, you know, we'll have a chance.
Coach, I got to ask you. Because you're a defensive guy, you know, when maybe you don't have the Jimmys and Joes, so to speak, from a personnel standpoint, what do you do as a defensive coordinator, you know, going into this game?
Well, you can't match up. Then you got to do things to confuse them. You've got to blitz more. You got to do a lot of movement up front. And you ask your secondary to do some things. See if you can match up and play some man. Play some man and heat them up where the ball has to come out quickly. But you just can't sit back and play a base defense. And
right.
You've got to do some movement and you've got to pressure things.
And you can't let them run the ball on you, especially because that's not their strength.
Load it up. I mean, yeah. You put as many in there as you have to stop the run.
That's hard. Oh, sorry. Well, I was going to say, the outside linebackers had some ups and downs, specifically in that Alabama game. It was not the prettiest.
They're non-factor.
But how do these outside guys help set that tone for?
Well, it's critical. You know, the contain. We just call it force. But that you have to keep the ball inside and front at the very least. If you're not going to go be in the backfield all the time, if you're in the backfield all the time, you could lose force because you're creating such chaos in there. And then the linebackers have a free run. But when they don't have a free run, you've got to set the point and push the ball back to your middle linebackers.
Amen.
And do it. And they just haven't. There's no integrity there right now. They got to create that, especially if they're going to get in three wides and four wides. And then you can't let them run the ball. Cut that off. And then, as Coach said, you got to create a pass rush. We got to make
corner
some stuff
the defense. Happen. At least Tarek start talking about cornering the defense, so no one. Whether if it's to a wide receiver side, the outside of the tackle, you got to we call five technique. Someone lined up on the outside of the tackle. He can't let the ball get outside of him. He has to turn it into all the pursuit, where the linebackers and backside pursuit catch him. Same thing on the other side. If it's a tight end, whoever's on the outside of the tight end, he can't lose containment.
And you see the three technique and our outside linebacker getting collapsed, and then all you got the fullback coming out on the strong safety. And then you're walking in the end zone. You saw in the Alabama game. You just can't have that. You can't have it. We got to contain the ball, and we got to get penetration or at least stalemate, so that your linebackers can move.
Now on the bright side, both teams 2-1, so this is Big Ten play. Coach, it's a long journey out there, and I think the outside of the Rose Bowls, you never had to do this kind of travel.
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah. We've gone out. Stanford. We played Stanford. We played Arizona State, Washington, yeah. Early in my tenure. Yeah, we played out in Washington.
But that was
we went out to Japan. We just flew over to Japan and played.
We don't care, you know why? Parking lot, wherever.
You go, I don't know when our guy, I haven't looked at their itinerary. I probably would have gone Thursday. You don't have to, though. You can go leave early Friday morning, get there in plenty of time. I didn't see what time. It's an early game, though, isn't it?
It's 2:30.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
You gain hours when you're going out there as opposed to when you're going from the other side, you're losing.
Yeah. And we're learning that's very important for our young producer, Riley. Riley, what time are you leaving on Saturday to get there for game time?
I believe we're leaving around 2:30 a.m., to get to California for the 12:30 local time kickoff. So it's going to be a long, long Saturday for me. Should be awesome, though.
When did you decide that the 2 a.m. flight was the right choice for you?
When it was the cheapest flight listed.
Oh, man.
It's like just over $100. So you guys, I have a question for you guys who have been out to L.A., have been to USC. What would you recommend seeing? Is there any cool traditions they have? Is there anything in the local area that's worth doing?
You go to the beach. You go to Manhattan Beach. You go to Manhattan Beach. Go hang out there. You know, okay. Just watch yourself around the stadium. There's some great Mexican food there. Phenomenal. But it gets a little rough here and there. But,
okay.
Riley, you're a warrior, man. You can handle it.
Exactly. We'll be fine.
Go get in there.
Get a little dirty.
You've never been there, Riley, have you?
No, this is my first time ever going to California, ever going to the West Coast.
We're all red.
Get up on. Yep. Get to Newport.
Get that Wisconsin accent going.
Yep.
Roll your O's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Where are y'all?
Excuse me there, guy. Let me all squeeze right past ya.
Funny story. So the 1994 Rose Bowl, you know, Coach always did a great job of having, you know, it was all about the experiences. And we had the opportunity to go to the Raiders, I think Broncos game. And then also there was guys that, like Tarek, went to the Playboy Mansion.
Disneyland.
Yeah. So I went to, because I was a young buck and didn't qualify to go to the Playboy Mansion, I went to the Raiders-Broncos game, and I had all my Wisconsin red garb on, and I was told right away that it was not good, because that's the Crips
and Bloods.
Oh,
Bloods
shoot.
Neighborhood.
And that's where our seats were.
Yeah.
They didn't do us any favors with those seats.
That's right. And so, Riley, just be conscious of the color of your garb.
Okay, I will. I was planning on being decked out in all Wisconsin red. Maybe have to go with more of the white.
You know, if you're at
Bucky.
Newport or you're here at some of those places, okay.
Coliseum. A little bit different.
You get down on Southern Cal's campus, not so fast.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
You're anywhere around it. It's a little seedy.
Yeah.
We're going to send him out there in all Trojan gear, and then as the Trojans did, once he gets in, he rips it off, and he's got the Badgers gear underneath.
Perfect.
It's a great venue, though. I mean, we didn't play there, but I went down, and when you guys, after we played in that next Rose Bowl, when Brooks started, I think maybe it was the last Rose Bowl, you guys practiced there. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It's a cool venue. And it should be fun to watch there, Riley. So.
Okay. I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you for the advice.
I hate to bring this up. We had this conversation in the office. I actually have this conversation with my partner very frequently. Is there beaches outside of the coast of the States? If it's not an ocean, is it a beach, Coach? Or
no, it's a beach. It's the ocean.
But if it's so on the Great Lakes, are those beaches?
Sand. That's a beach.
And water. Sand and water. That's all you need
sand
for
water.
Beach, correct?
It's a beach.
I agree.
Thank you. All right. We're going to put this poll question out into the field right now. The Great Dane poll question is, the Badgers are 0-3 against the spread. Will they cover? I am of the mindset that they will cover the spread.
What's the line?
I'm pulling that up right now.
Six and a half.
While he's looking at that, you played when you were at Notre Dame. You guys played at USC, right? Some of those big rivalries. What was that like?
Well, one year I remember Rodney Pete was their quarterback. It was one against two, one of the few times. You rarely get a one against two. 88. I think it was 88. And we went out there. I think we were 9-point underdogs. And I think we beat them 17-0 maybe. I think we might have given them 7 points.
What a battle.
We really played well on defense, and we got after Rodney Pete. We hadn't blitzed all year, and I threw every blitz that we had at him. We had him running for his life, but our guys really played lights out. That was a huge win, and that's one of my all-time top fives. Maybe I would never put it ahead of some of our Rose Bowls, but it's right there.
Is it a loud venue?
Yeah, it can be pretty loud.
You silenced it pretty good, though, right?
Michigan, to me, and I was just thinking this the other day when I was watching them play, when you play at Michigan, that stadium lays back. It's not like Iowa, even though it's – Iowa's probably, what, 60-some thousand, 70, yeah, 70 maybe, yeah. It compared to 100-plus.
Yep.
It's louder at Iowa because it's on top of you and the stadium goes up. It holds the noise in more.
Well, that was like Colorado. God, that's only 55,000-60,000. Same with
same thing.
Oregon. Same deal.
Oregon was same way.
Right on top of you. Yep. Loud is.
Yep. Yeah, the stadiums, and it's important, you know, to do your homework as a coach in preparing a team to know about sound and know what type of atmosphere are you going to have. Why is it so loud? I can remember when we went out to Oregon to play that one year, someone said, this will be the loudest venue you've ever been in. I said, are you kidding me? You know, we play in all these big stadiums in the league, et cetera, et cetera. And they only seat whatever it was. They said, but the stadium's right on top. The stands are right on top of you, and it goes up. You know, it doesn't lay back, and it's loud. And then I found out, I looked around. I heard all this noise and all the cheering, crowd noise, and I looked around. I didn't see anybody cheering. I didn't see anybody yelling. And I walked over, and they're piping the noise out of the speakers.
Oh man!
Oh boy!
That's what they were doing.
That was against the rules at that time. Correct?
Yes, it was.
All right. I had to make sure.
I couldn't stop the game at that point. And start pointing.
I wasn't sure if you implemented the rule. I don't know these things. You know,
yeah. Coach. You mentioned this earlier. You don't have to. I mean. You said top five. Like, what? I mean, obviously, in your very successful career, your top games.
Well, the top ones are the ones you're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
And you win.
Now, the Badgers, according to ESPN, are 14.5-point underdogs in this.
Oh, my. So this is a perfect one to win. It'll go high on my list. But that first Rose Bowl, we were – huge underdogs.
We were.
Huge underdogs. Hadn't been there. Most teams that go out there the first time are overwhelmed with everything.
What would you say about 92 Ohio State? I think they were number 3 or 4 in the country, and we weren't very, very good.
No. That was our first big win.
Right.
They're a top five team, I think.
Yeah.
That was a huge, because that showed people in our program we can beat the big boys. We can play with the big boys and not only play with them, we can beat them.
Well, I'll tell you this. It resonated with all your players because that's when we knew. We knew that we were not just wanting to beat Minnesota or Iowa. We're going after the big dogs.
Yeah.
And that changed everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there is another rival that is a big dog, and I want to talk a little bit about what it's going to take to beat them. Coming up next, it is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California girls. The West Coast has the sunshine and the girls all get so tan. Badgers linebackers. they have turned out okay in the NFL. Tark Salah, Derek Engler, Alex Cravat, and Barry Alvarez joining the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. And Derek, you were just starting to talk about it in the break. We have some guys in the league.
You know, it's kind of sad because, you know, Tark sent me an article today from The Athletic grading all the positions. And the linebackers got an F for the Wisconsin Badgers. And probably right.
The active roster.
So, yeah, yeah. But then you look in the league, we got Nick Herbig, strip sack. You got Zach Bond.
Van
you got
Ginkle
Leo Chanel. You got T.J. Edwards in Chicago. I mean, exactly. I mean, they're everywhere. It literally, there's Badger linebackers across the league, and it's sad when you see what's gone on here to date. Anyway, we don't have that presence.
Now we're gonna get
at
to
that position
to coach in just 1 second. But Tark, as a linebacker, I mean, what is it about Wisconsin that generally speaking breeds such great linebacking talent?
Well, you know, we went to the 3-4, and I think that defense, more linebackers came in the fray, and I think in the last, whatever, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, Jimmy Leonard kind of bred that type of linebacker.
With Aranda and,
Aranda. Yeah. Oh, you know what? That's right. Well, let's go back.
Yeah, because back to 14, 15.
That was
10 years ago.
But that was Coach Anderson came in, right?
Right.
And then he hired Aranda, and then all of a sudden they switched the defense by chance. And I'm not sure that we would have switched if Aranda didn't come in. So we rented him for a year, and then Wilcox came in and kept it going, and then Leonard took over. And you know, that type of defense is perfect for the next generation, and we've produced a lot of great linebackers, and we've got this momentum. So we gotta keep it going and get these guys going here.
Now, Coach, there have been a lot of players who come through, and you've coached a lot of guys who went on to have fantastic careers in the league. But what is a player who's truly going to go make a splash in the NFL, someone who's a champion-caliber player, what traits do you see in those guys that maybe you see in some of the Badgers we have now? Maybe not. That's okay, but what traits do they come with?
You know what the pro scouts tell me? They love Wisconsin kids because, number one, they're good locker room guys. They're good. They're good teammates. They understand the word team, and they're tough. They're always tough. I mean, you come here because you like to play hard-nosed football. We're not cutting any corners because the type of player that we get, we're not getting a ton of five stars. They just turn them loose. We're coaching them and developing guys, and that's what you see a lot.
I'm going to echo that because John Mara said exactly what Coach Alvarez just said. We love Wisconsin guys exactly because of what Coach Alvarez just said, and I can speculate that the Pittsburgh Steelers feel the same way because Mike Tomlin is always at Pro Day, you know, at Wisconsin. And hence, they got, I don't know, four or five guys
there. Well, they had Keanu Benton, they had TJ, they got Nick Herbig, and they have Loudermilk. Basically, it's the foundation of their defense is Badger football players. And they those guys reflect everything Coach said.
Yeah.
I ran into him at the Senior Bowl when Jake was playing, and he grabbed me. He says, "We love Wisconsin guys."
There you go.
And it's exactly what they're tough. They're good guys.
And speaking of Jake, he went out there and he had himself quite a great game this past weekend. Yeah. Even if the Cowboys didn't do so well, you were at that game, correct?
I was at the game. I just got back this afternoon. But, Jake played well. Disappointed that their offense didn't show up till second half. But he had a good game.
But they fought back. So is there something they could take away there?
Yeah, you got to build on something. As a coach, you always correct. But somehow you better take a look at why we started so slow and we were lethargic in the first half. And then all of a sudden you turn it on, you flip the switch, and you play differently. You've got to start the game that way. You got to play that way all the time if you want to be a good football team.
Now I want to take a moment and switch this topic, this conversation, to the Green Bay Packers, because the Green Bay Packers played really well. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. Now, the Packers jumped out to a great lead. Matt LaFleur has done a great job game planning, but something that we've seen consistently is even when you jump out to that great lead, the Green Bay Packers tend to have a little bit of a lull in the third quarter. Coach, how do you keep the pedal on the metal once you get out to that lead?
You know, those other guys are good coaches too.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, I used to tell our guys, the other teams on they have scholarships too. And so it's as much to do with the other team making corrections. Green Bay probably goes in their game plan. They're maybe doing some things that the other team isn't anticipating and taking advantage of it. And there's adjustments that are being made throughout a game. Those could be reasons.
Coach, and then if you're having success, you're not going to change, right? You're going to keep doing what you're doing, and the other team is making changes. So then you got to adapt in that fourth quarter and then, you know, drive it home. It's the way the nature of the business goes.
Absolutely. And one person I want to point to in particular on the Green Bay Packers, who I think does a really good job of just keeping that pedal to the metal, is Xavier McKinney, the Packers' safety. Now, I know that that's a little bit of a deep cut, but he has been fantastic, getting a ton of interceptions. And I think part of it is not just that he himself is a playmaker, but that the system is kind of built around letting him and allowing him to go be that playmaker in a ball-hawking safety. How often do you draw up a scheme around a player to just kind of allow them to breathe and be free, Coach?
Well, in a safety's case, a good safety is going to read the quarterback's eyes. If you've got, you know, if you're playing a three deep, he's the middle third, but he's reading the quarterback. If you're playing man free, he's the free guy. He's reading the quarterback and going where his eyes take him and what he anticipates on scouting report and formation and all that thing. But you still have to get a jump on the ball and read patterns, pattern read with whatever the offense is running and anticipate where the ball is going to go.
And I think on this defense they have a lot of depth, and it allows him to do what he does well. And he doesn't have to be everything to everyone. And I think that's the whole story of this defense. They've brought players in. They've drafted well. They have backup corners. Evan Williams is playing as a backup safety, right? Did the kid from Georgia, did he get hurt?
Or was Wyatt?
The safety.
Oh, Bullard?
Yeah.
I don't know if he did get hurt.
You can check that. I hate to ask questions on air. But, like, guys like that, he's a talented kid. So, like, there's enough talent where now Xavier McKinney has to just be a leader. And as Coach said, use his instincts to follow the quarterback's eyes and then get everybody lined up, and it's all good.
I just, like, I mean, you know, in the National Football League, you need beasts and werewolves up front. And Packers got them. I mean, you got the old guard, Preston Smith. You got Rashawn Gary doing his deal. And, of course, Kenny Clark and Wyatt up front. I mean, it is a good, good defensive front. It really is.
And the backups are good. You have some depth
there.
Yeah,
and you got depth. Exactly, Tarek. You know, I mean, that's everything in the NFL. It's everything in college football. You know, I wish we had that. We don't at Wisconsin, so we got to play discipline. You know, football, you know, and hopefully we'll do that out USC.
Absolutely. Well, Matt LaFleur, perhaps an early candidate for Coach of the Year. Packers playing the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell also could be one of the offensive, if not Coach of the Year. Yeah, he looks fantastic. He's a young man, handsome man. We've got the picture pulled up right in front of him. You're just staring at him, Derek. But this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
For yourself there.
I'm not. He's leaning back. He's eyeing up Kevin O'Connell over here.
Gee, man, you're hilarious.
All right, we're going to come back to some more Badgers, wrap it up on the other side. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
I'm going back to Cali. 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 If
The Badgers are 14.5-point underdogs in this game. And according to the ESPN, or the Great Dane poll question on ESPN Madison, 71% believe the Badgers will not cover against USC. Now, USC is probably seeing the two-play drive that Alabama went on at the end of the half in against Alabama this past weekend. And I understand that there's a little bit of things to be worried about there. But why should we not be worried about it? How can we make this the USC weakness?
Well, first thing, you better correct your secondary. And that's what you work on all week, is the ball going over top and not letting anybody get behind you. And obviously we hadn't done enough work on that, because they're going to try to throw it over top of us. And, you know, the only way you can get better is repetitions.
What I would like to see is creating turnovers. I really would love to see that from a defensive standpoint, because that's what we need. You know, we are limited up front, obviously, in the defensive line. But let's create some turnovers. That's what we have to have defensively. Offensively, I think we can punch them in the face. I really do. I really think we can punch them in the face, and we can run the ball against this defense. If we do that,
well, defensively, what you're asking for, you've got to blitz. You've got to put some pressure on your secondary to play some man coverage, and you've got to heat things up, because they're going to try to go over top.
Fair enough.
And you can't give them that time to go over top. So somebody's, you got to hold up outside.
I think in the secondary, Coach, I think we got some guys. I think we got some guys back there.
Give them a chance to show their guys.
Yeah. So these linebackers don't know contain, so why not let them run free? Right,
yeah,
Tark?
Well, I think that we could stop their run. We could stop their run. Just don't let them get a little room by running the ball. So you stop the run with what you have, and then what Coach said about, hey, be disciplined in the back end, and we got some athletes there. And then when it's, you know, third and long, we know they're going to throw, and let's be creative. Let them run and let them freaking get some pressure on the guy. I mean, they don't have to sack him all the time. Just put a little pressure on the guy, and we'll be all right.
Absolutely. And the Badgers hopefully will get the ball rolling on the offensive side again. Michigan put up 290 yards on the ground. Are we licking our chops? Is that our edge coming into this game, Coach?
It would be my edge. I mean, I'd be looking at that film and say, can we run the ball every damn play?
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely. And we saw Braden Locke a lot last year. He looked all right. He has one interception in his time. What can we learn from Braden Locke? Not what can he do, not what is he capable of. We know he's a capable guy, but what can we learn from Braden Locke coming up this game?
Well, I don't know. As long as he could check down, get the small passes, almost like what they did with Malik Willis to get going. Just get the small completions going, which almost is like a run, Derek. And because I feel like we have to pass, we feel compelled to do it, even though we would just stick to running the ball. But if you have to pass the ball, just keep it
three hard hits here. Yeah. We want to run the ball.
We're going to run the ball. That's all the time
Pitch
we
the
have
ball.
Today.
Pass.
This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.